is amazing. So I'll take 1 minute to just recap. We had almost 7 sessions so far. So in the first, we started with, the past. After the forest, Josh talked about how almost a land which is rubbish dump and neglected can be restored back into life. We had absolutely convincing examples. And we've heard from Jill the necessity to manage the water, and Kirit's very modest attempts to dam and harvest the water. And then we had in the waste treatment, Sensi's efforts to have decentralized plants in a very ecologically friendly way. And in the food, we've seen the efforts of the rural farmers to be aware of the needs of the humans as well as the environment to generate food in whatever way it's possible within the means. And we've gone through the energy sessions, where again you've seen efforts from different people to understand the implications of energy and what solutions we can find. And in the habitat, we've seen some of the finest examples as well. Now we got all this stuff. Now, does it make sense? So for this, obviously, I don't have an answer. So we roped in 4 of the eminent people from here, from this room. So I would like to introduce Alan. Alan is editor of Orville Today magazine, and he's also a champion of one of the champions of sustainability. He also organizes workshops and courses, and he'll be the moderator for the session.
Badminton also.
Right. Okay, I'd like to invite Lavanir. Lata represents Lavanir. Suman. Sanjeev is ill today. He's not here at the conference, so Suman. And Dave Valak from...
Could I just begin by making a radical suggestion, and that is that everybody could move forward. Because we can't focus on, I can't focus on the back. It's like, you've had 3 days to get used to each other. Just a few approach. Thanks very much. So we have 45 minutes to talk about the future. It's very unsustainable to classify people into rigid groups, but just for the purposes of this panel, we have not a representative, we have somebody from the corporate world, if you don't mind me saying, somebody from Oroville, somebody from the NGO world, and somebody, Durganan, from, how would you describe it?
Architecture
world, okay. Architecture and planning. And we thought, although I'm not asking people to represent their particular world, but just to get a very quick readout from all the people here, quickly, first of all, what is it that has struck them from these last 3 days, and what they feel they can carry forward? And then we'll start looking at more details about what that carrying forward actually means. So, Suman, if we could start with you.
Sure, thanks. I think I came here without an agenda, so I had an open mind about just keeping the antenna out open and receive more ideas about what sustainable means, what green practices are and stuff like that. You know, as you put it, the corporate world is all about bottom line profits, and to find a way to connect, you know, sustainability into profitability, which I personally believe is possible. And now I think from the last 3 days, I have found a lot of, reasons to actually prove it. And it's a beginning for me. I'll take it forward into various ways.
Okay.
Lata.
Well, I have to admit that I haven't attended any of the sessions in this seminar. But I have, having lived here for a while, I have seen many of these presentations at other events. I must admit that I may not have seen all of them, but representing Oroville, it is very difficult for me to say what we can take, because that was one of the things you said. What do you take forward? As a member of the planning group in Oroville, my main, or our actually, if I can speak for my team, our main effort is in trying to integrate all of the efforts that are going on in Oroville and take Oroville towards a future which takes all of this and the larger population out there and their aspirations into the process of planning itself. So we, as Lavanir, want to remove the divide that exists between the planners and the plan, so to say. So to learn from the experiences and put it back out there in a sort of planned format that then people can react to and make decisions for the larger benefit of all of us. That's something that concerns us.
Thank you. Dave from NGO.
So on a surface level, there's I've seen over the past 3 days a lot of opportunities for micro-entrepreneurs. And I think there are many conversations to have after this about how at least my organization and other NGOs can connect in to help micro-entrepreneurs all over India find ways to, at a very small scale, get engaged in green technologies, get engaged in crafts. And I've seen through conversations here some of those things start to take shape. It's been exciting. On a deeper level, I definitely have an appreciation for the fact that in every presentation, you have a lot of people who bring a lot of passion to what they're doing, who, you know, in every step of what they're doing are clearly investing a lot of quality and a lot of their heart into it. Many times in things that have taken 12, 15, 20 years to play out. And I think that there's something very exciting about the culture here of a place that maybe has started with so little and has seen some very exciting results early, and that's provided a lot of energy for people to really have a lot of perseverance and to put quality into what they're doing day after day after day. So I think as much as it's at a tactical level, entrepreneurial opportunities, it's also, I think, the culture here is something that, as you figure out how to export this outside of the community, is something that I think people really value.
Doug.
I think there's particularly significant that came to me was the fact that instead of looking at a product or even instead of looking at sustainability as sustainability, even the presentations were, or even the manner in which events or things happen in Oroville are, there's an idea and the obsession or the passion with the idea is the core. So one really doesn't define what is to happen or do not define the goal, but the focus is on the idea and its unfolding. And that unfolding as a process itself leads to collaboration, conflict, resolution, and that entire process, I think, is what this sustainability is about for 40 years, is what comes to me at the end of this.
Thank you.
If I can add, you know, Suhasini asked me why I come here so often. I think in Oroville you come here often when you don't know why you're coming. That's what happens. That the obsession is beyond that reason, and that's what takes the idea even further.
You mean as soon as you know you stop coming? Or?
I don't know.
This is always a very interesting point in sort of workshops or processes or whatever, because it's the end of a very intense period. You've had 3 days, you've had a lot of things coming at you, and some of you have known quite a lot about it already, some of it is very, very new. It's been not so much an interactive workshop, as I understand. You've had to receive a lot of things. And now you've been sitting here in fossil fuel AC comfort for the last afternoons. Now there's a kind of re-entry process, because it's very easy when one sits here and has all the presentations to feel, okay, now I know what green practices are, now I've got the knowledge, basically I'm halfway there. But the reality, of course, is some of you are going to get on buses or in a car that's going to break down after 20 or 30 kilometers from the ECR. You're going to go back to work situations or study situations which are totally different from what you've experienced in the last 3 days. And I'm always interested in what I call this re-entry process. It's very difficult now, of course, to imagine fully what it is, but I'd like to ask the panelists here, maybe not Lata so much here because she actually lives here, but to translate some of these things that you've been learning about into the last 3 days, into your work situation. First of all, what are the kind of challenges? Because we're talking about real-world situations now. And given those challenges, what are some of your ideas about how you could deal with them? I mean, could I start with you, Samantha? The corporate world, which simplistically many people would say is right on the other end of the spectrum from the, I'm simplifying, from the environment. What are the challenges of taking some of these things back to your world?
See, first of all is, I think, acceptability that this is important. I think first barrier is that. The, you know, any problem that needs to be solved starts with identifying the problem. And if you don't even identify the problem, then you don't even start the process of solving. To me, the first step is probably the most important. And to make, you know, everyone aware that sustainability is an issue. I know a lot of, you know, now this global warming thing has started people getting interested in it and all that. But it's all on a very, you know, superficial level. All the things that we came to know about, you know, energy, water, and all, the way small things can take such a big impact and all that, I mean, they are all education and eye-openers to break that barrier. So that, to me, is the first step. So the first challenge is accepting that something has to be done. And of course, then the next of the three things about, you know, finding options, finding ways to do and implementing, and then hopefully reaping the benefits or actually making a contribution are just, you know, next steps. So if we cross the first step, it'll be a better start.
So let me put you on the spot. You're back in your office or your workplace on Monday morning. Somebody says, okay, what have you been doing the last 3 days? You've been wasting your time. What do you say? What is your response?
Well, luckily, I don't get asked such questions.
Nobody knows you're here? You're here in secret? Or something?
I'm sorry?
Nobody knows you're here?
No, I didn't mean like that. But out of my responsibility is to actually, you know, get good ideas and try move forward with them. And hopefully sustainability will also prove to be one of them.
But imagine what if your business managers who is asking.
Let me answer that on a more practical way. I'm more from the development side. So the first step, if you may, would be to sensitize the rest of the team. You know, the planners that I use, the architects that I use, the interior designers that I use, landscapers that I use, to tell them that, hey, listen, you know, don't have the horse thing, blinkers. Don't have that. You know, take the blinders off and start looking at things in a bigger perspective and do that. And I'm sure all of them are very sensitive, but again, till they don't get it as a brief, you know, they may not really invest their time and attention to. So first thing would be to do that, and then of course, you know, slowly things will become better. Does that answer your question?
Partly. And the bottom line, I mean, the profitability of the enterprise. And
see, it's all, I don't know, you may understand, Dave, you do financing. It's all a matter of moving the numbers here and there. It's smokes and mirrors, and you can prove it.
Another good practice, smoke and mirrors. Okay.
But no, on a real basis, anyone who is for the long term will understand the value. Anyone who is for the short term speculation or you know, build and sell, they will probably never get it. So till the time, as an industry, we don't move towards long term stakes by the people who actually build the assets, it will remain a problem. And luckily, I am in the, you know, part which is in the long term, so it's easier for me to get into all this.
All right. Thank you. Thanks so much, Dave. I mean, maybe you have a slightly different Describe your situation, and then are the challenges of importing some of these ideas or practices into your situation? And if so, how do you deal with them?
So the challenges that I have mostly are about people being able to have a picture in their head of what's even possible. So I think that what's useful about what I've seen in the past 3 days and what I can show to other people is that there's actually been a lot of practical implementation and experimentation on the ground, and that while it doesn't necessarily need to make perfect financial sense today, I mean, for most financial types, there's an ability to see that at scale, is it possible that this could make money or break even? I think there's a general acknowledgement on some of these technologies, maybe even many of these technologies, that 5 or 10 years down the road, that they will have wider implementation. And so I know And I've listened to many people talk about experimentation with these technologies at the higher income levels. So my context is a lot more the lower income levels. And I think, you know, at the higher income levels, there's excess money. And at the lower income levels, there's excess time. And so in terms of a lot of the technologies we've seen and a lot of the work we've seen, that excess time can be put to use in place of money. So I think on both sides, it's interesting, even if it doesn't make perfect financial sense in the short term. Mm-hmm. I think just getting in and experimenting, I think maybe a lot of us in the somewhere between the NGO world and the business world see this as something where we can go and maybe take the baton from Oroville and start to fund a little bit of the experimentation to get to the point where it becomes something that the mainstream business can accept. And I think there are a lot of people who'd be willing to play that role and to be in partnership to try and figure out.
You're an interesting bridge, actually, in that sense, that you're doing.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, part of how I've gotten introduced to Oroville is I've done some work with Procti Design that does the cook stoves, and through interaction with them, we've been able to suggest some changes that both them and Envirofit and others have started to introduce into their models, a little bit of market research. And in that, it starts to, I think, you know, for all of us, it kind of helps to make it a little more palatable to mainstream business. So, you know, I think there's a lot of exciting opportunities for partnership. There's another story that happened here that I think is worth sharing. So, you know, the well paper gentleman who is here was showing the well paper. My friend out here who runs a landscaping business in Chennai saw the well paper and thought, you know, we could use that for plants, put them into the ground, it will decompose over time. And I think is talking to the well paper gentleman about that. So, I mean, I think there's a really interesting model with the Oroville stores that you have about, you know, showcasing these technologies as art and letting people see them to the point where a more mainstream business can develop. I think it's, I mean, I hadn't really seen that as clearly until being here in the past couple of days. I think it's exciting. So,
thank you. Durganand, architecture planning.
I would say the challenge is that there exists a quite sharp schism or disparity between the level of sensitivity or consciousness between someone, a group that comes into an urban settlement with a choice versus someone who's just entering Bombay or just entering Delhi, or and that makes a big difference. So the flip side or the good side of it is that in making these cities, the kind of consensus, the kind of some tacit agreement that is there between all the residents. You know, and I think that's a major problem that Indian cities are facing. Having said that, I would say that Joseph's presentation on the Adyar Bunga is one precursor where, given the fact that there has been a certain experiment which has happened, it's the energy of that experiment that allows an intervention. Because otherwise, that scale of intervention to look at an environment, to look at something which was really derelict, a dark zone, I don't think there are any other examples in the urban context. So I would really look at that as the challenge. The challenge is, how does now one kind of, I don't know the right word, it's not collaborate, but how does one, you know, what is the synthesis or symbiosis that's going to happen in carrying the spirit in whatever way. But that choice also Oroville has to make. It's not a choice that only an outsider makes. It's a choice that Oroville also has to make. And if it does make it, I would see that make it as an extension of the meditation of Oroville, not as having left Oroville and gone out and come back. If you define it that way, then it has no relevance. So I would say that's really the challenge for me as an urban planner.
Let's break down this glass invisible wall. Let's hear from you, because you've been, many of you have been sitting here. This question of actually taking it out now, you know, you 3 days of different things, different areas, the green, etc. Do any of you I mean, I'm hoping that some of you have been fired, inspired, whatever, by some of these presentations, but how are you going to take it back? Can I hear from some of you? Have you got ideas already, things that you'd like to do, challenges you see? Let's hear. Have you been anesthetized for 3 days now? And now have you? Yeah, sure.
Hi, Amara.
Yeah.
We have a family business, and I came here because I wanted to do green practices back and use my experience and do something with it. So many ideas I saw that we could implement in the factory.
Huh.
Eco-science, water harvesting. We waste a lot of water. We use 600,000 liters of water a month. So there's a so much better way of... we have a huge 12-acre plot, but we also have a village nearby. So integrating maybe the school, the community, doing something like organic farming to some extent. So many ideas I got. And one of the other idea was the solar. You know, we have 400 engineers all over India. And they are located in villages. So, bringing solar to the villages which have no connection to the grid. These are some of the ideas I got.
Mm. Great. There were other hands.
So I'm originally from Nigeria, and in Nigeria there isn't much consciousness of environmental sustainability or even just clean practices versus green practices. And I was very inspired by the presentation on the campaign, the Litter Free Oroville campaign. I thought it was very innovative and interesting. And I'm kind of going through a process of thinking of a way of incorporating some kind of fund campaign into the school systems in some part of Lagos, where the kids, I mean, kids are the best way to get the message across, because they go back to their parents and don't do that, you know, we're not supposed to do that because this and that happens, and slowly it becomes mainstream to think green, or to at least let's think clean first, and then we move to green. So and I'm playing with that idea, and it's something I'm hoping to maybe start very soon.
Great. Thank you.
I feel like I want to expose Oroville to the world. I feel you've got diamonds you're sitting on here. You've got a lot of wisdom, a lot of tested ground that I'm looking for the publicity angle, you know. I don't know who would to speak to, what, you know, because I don't feel like I'm the doer in this. I feel, though, that I'm a voice for you, because I also live in Hong Kong. So, you know, I don't know what the next step is, but that's what's coming up for me.
Thanks.
Just carrying forward on what Linda, right? Linda said, I mean, you know, the diamond she mentioned, I think, are the thoughts that have now proven themselves.
Mm.
That's probably what the whole seminar was, you know. You showed us what works, what is possible, and also demonstrated that it's possible to think beyond it and still do it in a better way, you know, which is what generally everyone hesitates.
Mm.
Because they're in the comfort zone and they don't want to kind of move out. And what Aurovind, Leon, and the speaker group demonstrated was the other side of it. So I think that what you've already done with the green portal, maybe you can, you know, increase the outreach. I'm sure that's already part of the plan. But, you know, become the thought leader for whatever is good for the world at large. I mean, if this is a city of the future, then, you know, it has to be in the world which is also in the future. So, you know, you need to kind of help rest of the world take advantage of the thoughts and lessons, or, you know, whatever is good here to share. So that will be something nice. And through us, probably we'll get ambassadors.
I'm Mohit Ratna from TCP Oro Valley. What I feel that the real challenge is there are not a good number of planners in India. At approximately there are 3,000 urban planners, and altogether we are having 5,161 towns, and by the end of 2011 we could exceed 7,000 towns. So approximately there is a ratio of, you know, one planner to two towns. So Second thing, the course syllabus is very old and outdated. So new things are not being introduced. So those things have to be introduced in the syllabus course. Third thing, since Orwell is proposed to have a population of 50,000 in 10 years. Our office also associated with making the master plan of Orwell City in 2001. So right now there are 1,500 adults and they are able to pursue 5,000 employees from outside. And all of them are going to use the vehicle. There are not less, you know, there are not enough land for transportation. So what I feel that some perspective mobility plan has to be, you know, prepared. So this has not to be prepared on the cost of, you know, the selling of trees, because the width of the roads, what I observe, is very less. In long term, you are going to have the bigger size of, you know, transportation. In the purview of one scheme, centrally sponsored scheme, Jawaharlal Nehru Urban Renewal Mission. So that under that scheme, every city is being provided large buses, the green modes of transport. So the least you know, space means it, the some point of time the roads have to be widened. So this should not be done on the cost of, you know, filling up trees. So we have to think in the beginning itself. So we have to go for hierarchy of roads and hierarchy of the, you know, the items.
You know, there's, Suhasini mentioned in her presentation, you know, obviously the political dimension is a very important one in terms of making, but there's a title of a book that came out about a year or two back, and it was something like, I've Seen the Future, and it's Each of Us. So in that sense, also there's the problem sometimes that we are very easily shifting the responsibility for changing things onto that platform of politicians or organizers or whatever. And I mean, we've still got a little bit of time. I'm asking, I don't want to turn this into a kind of revivalist meeting or anything like that, but I'm interested individually in each of you here who've been here. If there's something as a result of the last 3 days that you feel you can do or that would change your life, and I'm not talking 10 or 15 or 20 years down the line, but maybe next week or next month, something that you've seen and it's thought, and you've thought, wow, okay, now I understand that, and now I am going to, or I am not going to. Has anybody had that kind of feeling? Something they can take out on a personal,
Actually, there's quite a few of those diamonds she spoke about. And we got it, as an audience, we had a difficult decision deciding which ones to pick and work with, you know. I jotted down about five of them, and three I would like to talk about, which could substantially change the way we do our business. You know, and be in the business of reducing CO2 emissions. And one of them, of course, is the DVACs, you know, which Tennessee spoke about. And I've been watching that for more than 5 years now, and it's come to a stage where I think it's commercially viable by itself. And also applicable to many of the Indian large metros. So it's going to be a challenge to see how we really work with the team here in Orville and take it to those projects. You know, I mean, the destiny of these projects could be substantially bigger than what we can imagine. You know, in terms of concept, in terms of application, and relevance for the country, and so on. The challenge lies for Orovillians and the diamonds she spoke of and individuals like us to make that happen. Yeah? That I feel is going to require a lot of close working. And that's something I spoke to Chandesh, we need to figure out how to do that. Because if it's one thing to have session of 3 days like this and yet another to pick up a few specific projects and scale them up. So that challenge remains to be, you know, defined and sorted out as how do we do it. And second, of course, is what the Satprem has got in terms of Earth Institute and, you know, a technology which has got 60-70% reduction for on the carbon footprint of a commercial building versus what he's got. Unfortunately, the millions and millions of square footage in the country doesn't use it. The whole country, I mean, maybe 9.9% is still using all the CO2 intensive technology, where we've got something which is 70% clean and not costing a penny more, if at all saving something. So that's the thing. I mean, it includes all the architects here, you know. I mean, they have to share this piece, you know, how do we scale this up, you know, because a decision for a green building at an individual level or a commercial level is not so straightforward. So it involves so many players. But that's something should happen. I think, you know, the Earth Institute solutions have been around for so long, but still it's not scaled up. It doesn't impact the, you know, the construction industry at large. You know, I mean, it's business as usual once you step out of or a wheel. I mean, everyone's using the same cement, and you know the CO2 footprint has to come down. Yeah. And third idea, of course, is the environment education curriculum. I heard someone talk about it yesterday or the day before, and that I think could be translated in other languages. It could be certainly be done in Hindi to begin with, and you know, it can reach out to other states of the country. You know. Oh,
right. Thank you. Personal, you stay? Right. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
I've been visiting Orwell for last 12 years or so, and I think in this last session, I've seen this great maturation of, you know, ideas, products, technologies, which are ready to take out, and they're ready to actually share with everyone. Yeah. So I see a great exchange with other people. Maybe we're doing similar things, you know, scattered around different parts of the country, sharing it and possibly, you know, simulating what also they're doing. I would like to take care from that, where I come from in Goa. Before when I left Orwell, I thought I was always going back to the real world. And today I think maybe this is the real world.
There was a hand up here earlier, was it? Yeah, sure.
This is a question that I've been thinking about, and the fact that there is, as everyone's saying, that like these jewels, these diamonds that exist, and I'm sure over the many years there will be many more that will spurt up as we go along. But this question is that something that was seeded in about 45 years back, how can we start thinking about seeding this, maybe to start with in other parts of India because it might be easier, but start conceptualizing in how we can take this to a much greater sense, start putting these seeds somewhere else. So at least something as simple as maybe a power station as a concept. It doesn't have to be the same concept as what Auroville is existing is today, but maybe parts of it or holistically or groupically, can we start seeding in different parts? And we have people from 45, 50 countries, access to almost across the world. And just the thought that, or maybe some understanding of how possibly something can be created. Good.
I'm still missing a little bit the I statements here. People taking personal responsibility for changing something, maybe in their situation or their lives. Anybody brave it? Yes?
This is from a discussion I had with Raghu yesterday.
Yes.
I was asking him how one gets into Auroville, and my first question was, how does one figure out a house for himself? What is the budget?
Yeah.
So he said that is not really the beginning. The first is you understand what you're searching for and where they're going to get it here.
Oh.
And then he made a statement saying it is not so much about coming here for something, which is still again I wanting something, but rather than to start giving something. So he said the people who have stayed here for long are the people who started giving and giving and giving, and they found fulfillment and they have been here since they came here. So that kept me thinking, because even though I've been, in terms of profession, I've been changing every 2 years from one situation to another situation, there's some dissatisfaction because there's no internal growth. Mm-hmm. The external circumstances are changing, seemingly there are better opportunities, but there's not that satisfaction coming in. So since yesterday evening, I've been thinking that once I go back to the so-called real world, how should I start giving out? And maybe that will help me to see growth internally. So that is one thing that is part of insight.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm going to plant a lot of trees. And I'm going to make a lot of people plant a lot of trees. And it's going to grow, hopefully.
Good. Thank you.
Alan, as an Aurobilian, I would like to counterbalance a mental vision which is now in the room. That is that we are here with our wisdom and our incredible experience, and we are going to tell the world how to change towards the I mean, I'm happy to be in Orville, and Orville has been the best place in the world for me not to be 1 second bored, but not only be happy, also to be thoroughly angry, thoroughly frustrated. Orville keeps me going, but I have learned at least as much from outside Orville than from inside Orville. I mean, I'm reading books and I have access to the internet and I'm connected with the world and with top people all over the world, and I'm doing work outside Orville and I'm learning and I'm bringing back to Orville, and I'm constantly engaged in bringing people from Orville outside and people from outside inside. It's an ongoing dialogue and exchange. It is not Orville showing the world. I mean, I don't live in an Orville that goes out. I don't live there. I live at least in Tamil Nadu, if not in India. And through the literature I read, there is always global statistics. That's part of my mental world. But what Tuan showed, global statistics of energy. I read global statistics of agriculture and soil depletion and recycling and whatnot. That's my world, not Orville. And Orville has to have a meaning in this world, otherwise it has no meaning.
Yeah, it's good that we, after being called diamonds, we keep our... diamonds, there's a lot of ore around it. I mean, we're coming to the end, but I'm wondering, because the name of the 3 days was Green Practices, but we're talking definitions here. It would be sad in one sense if you go away thinking green practices are simply what you've been presented with over the last 3 days. No? Just picking up from what you said, Lucas, the fact that everybody has the potential to indulge. I mean, green is chlorophyll, the colour. Chlorophyll gives that greenness, you know, it's the whole idea of conversion. But if we define green practices as everything that is life-enhancing, as a very simple kind of definition, you realise how much each of you can do. You're not simply talking about planting trees or changing your light bulbs for something more efficient. Or you're also talking about your relationships. You're talking about your whole lifestyle, basically. If you looked at it in terms of whatever I do every day, does it enhance life? Does it enhance something? Or does it detract and subtract from it? You are already making a kind of statement just by actually thinking about that. You are actually becoming part of either green practices, or I don't want to get into the obverse of what green practices are, but I think it's interesting that we try and, at the end of this 3 days, expand that definition so you realize that all of you have the potential to be very much involved in green practices every moment of your life. And this is part of it, the last 3 days, but there's a huge other range there. And you can inspire us just as much as we can inspire you. So,
thank you.
Okay. Thank you.